What about tapes? How important are tapes?
Tapes are vitally important in programming our mind and developing the right attitude and knowledge. So we want to read 15 minutes per day because you're a leader, you are a mentor, you are a motivator, and you are a leader who needs new material each week. And the same thing applies to tapes. You need to have tapes to lend out to other people. And you should be listening to at least 4 tapes per month. In the beginning, 2 tapes per week. See, the way I see tapes is that we are feeding our mind. And you don't really need to sit down and study anything or watch a video where you have to take an hour and totally concentrate. You don't need to sit and listen and schedule time to listen to tapes. You do it while you're doing something else. It takes no time to listen to tapes. On your way to a meeting or on your way to work, you pop a cassette in or a CD in. While you're doing your chores, while you're cooking, while you're getting dressed, while you're exercising or running, you just put a Walkman on. And all that time, we're programming our mind and learning and acquiring knowledge in order to become a proficient builder of this business, to become a professional. So we're developing the right attitude and knowledge. We're feeding our mind. We're programming our mind. And really the way I see it is you're hiring the top professionals, the top minds, the top success stories in the industry to teach you. You're actually taking them home with you. You take them in your car with you. I often joke that I'm really a part-time brain surgeon in this business. You know, the story that I love to tell about every time I get on an airplane, we got so many points from traveling that we don't have time to take a vacation, so we get upgraded to first class, and there's a ritual up there. As soon as the plane takes off, everybody turns to each other within 5 minutes and asks them what they do. And I just wait for that question, and I always say, well, I'm a part-time brain surgeon. And the guy says, I don't think I've ever heard of that. What do you mean by that? I said, well, would you like me to operate on your thinking? And then I pull out my trusty little flip chart. I mean, where is he going to go? He's on the plane with me for 2 hours. But you see, although I'm being facetious and joking around, there's some truth in that because we really are operating on people's thinking in this business. We're getting them to see that they can be successful through the 2 to 3 year plan and through the MPCP. And we have to remove the obstacles. You see, everybody that comes into the business, everybody that comes into your organization, inclusive of you, has fears, hang-ups, doubts, and little things that they need to overcome. There's also things that we have that are hot buttons that need to be fed so that we're motivated to build the business. So the way I see tapes is they're really, as a brain surgeon or as I operate on somebody's thinking, these are prescriptions that I can prescribe and apply to different situations to overcome a person's particular fear or hang up. Or it can be like a vitamin to motivate them about certain things that are a hot button that excite them. And you know what else? Everybody doesn't identify with you or I necessarily, but there's a tape by someone who they will identify with. I don't care who motivates them or how they get it or who takes credit for it as long as they become successful. So in a way, it's like hiring an army of employees or consultants who make hundreds of thousands of dollars per year and are going to go to work for you. The more of these consultants and trainers that you have in your organization, which what I mean is tapes, the more tapes that you have in your organization, the more of the right attitude is going to develop, and the more of the right knowledge, necessary knowledge, is going to be absorbed into your group. And you're duplicating the right attitude and knowledge. This is the greatest leveraging tool of everything. You're leveraging your time, and you're creating duplication by using the tapes. So what I do with a new person, or a tape that'll really motivate them, or a tape by someone who they'll really identify with and connect with. And I lend them that tape. And after they listen to it, I ask them, how'd you like it? I say, man, that was great. And I ask them what they got out of it. And a lot of times they now see things differently when they were having something that was kind of getting in their way mentally, where they had a little hang up about something and it dissolved it for them. Or they say, man, I really identified with that guy. Or that tape really motivated me. Or now I see the big picture. I say, you know, you're probably going to run into people like yourself that are experiencing the same thing. Do you see how that tape would change that for them? And they nod and they say, yeah. I said, well, I'll tell you what, you're going to need that tape. That came out of my library. I'm going to put it on your order and you can pay me for it. Then I'll replace it in my library. But you're going to want to listen to that again and you're going to want to be able to use it on somebody else. So you see, What I set in motion carries in motion. I'm starting it out right from the beginning where they're paying for this tapes. Free has no value, and that allows you to move more and more tapes into your organization. Now, also with a new person, within the first 30 to 90 days, I always like to play a little trick on them. I give them a blank tape, and I ask them the next week, hey, how'd you like that tape? Oh, it was great. It was fabulous. And I smile and say, you know, there was nothing on that tape. And I bet you they'll never do that again. And they don't do it again. And I'm loving about it, you know, but I'm just kind of kidding them and waking them up, because that's how important tapes are. And if we're not listening to them, it's like listening to a blank tape. Let's take a look at what the things are that we should be doing exactly to develop that right attitude and knowledge. And remember, everything in the basic five is measurable so that we can monitor it, so that we can adjust if it's not being done either by ourselves or somebody that we're working with, so that we can control the results. So what are the specific things, a checklist, if you will, that we need to be measuring to determine whether we are efficient at developing the right attitude and knowledge? Well, the first is a weekly counseling with the upline. I mean, you have somebody who has a financial economic interest and your well-being and your success. In fact, a whole line of people who care more about you probably than anybody else in the world. And you know, when somebody first starts out in the business, they don't know anything. They don't know what to do, and they're experiencing all types of things. Just remember when you came into business, how many things that you experienced and learned and ran into in the first couple weeks. Well, see, a new person is like a fine crystal. Anything can shatter it. In a way, they're like an infant or a little baby. I mean, you need to protect them. You need to feed them. You need to change their diapers. You need to keep them warm until they start to grow. And then you have to teach them how to walk. You see, it's the same thing in the business. And so we want to make sure that we're counseling with new people in the business on a weekly basis, where we sit down and go through the action guide and the getting started guide and action plan and see what they experienced and reinforce the direction that they're moving in and answer their questions and help them to the next level. And I teach people to call. You know, I'll call somebody up day after day and, you know, they're at home. And I said, John, you know, how's it going? You still growing? Oh, yeah, I'm still in. I'll be at the meeting. I call him the next day. Hey, John, how's it going? Well, I had to work overtime, you know, but I'm going to get it going. I call him up the next day. I say, hey, man, I just had a great meeting. Are you going to bring anybody to the second look? Oh, I'm going to try. You know, the next night I call him again. I say, hey, how's it going? Are you getting your tickets for the seminar? Oh, I'm going to try to, but, you know, it's just really been busy at work, and I've had some people visiting us. And the next day I call him again, and he's home again. And I say, hey, John, we got a problem. He says, what's that? I say, you know, I don't know if this is going to work for you. He says, why is that? I said, because you're home every single night. Don't tell me you're working the business or you're out prospecting or at meetings or at trainings or doing it, because you're at home every night. And that's all right if you don't really want the 2 to 3 year plan. But I thought you did. So look, why don't we get together and I'm going to book a meeting for you and we'll go see some people. And then I explained to him, listen, if you want to be successful, if you want that 2 to 3 year plan, you need to call me every week. And I don't want you to call me up with a bunch of problems. First, I want you to tell me what's right, even if it's just, hey, I'm still in. That's right. And I want you to call me every week and first tell me the positive. Tell me what you did to build your business. Tell me something positive. And then if you're having situations, tell me what the situation is, but don't dump it on me as a problem. I want you to come up with some solutions, and you lay out with me the possible solutions. Because when they call me up just with a problem, I say, hey, listen, you go back and you figure out 2 or 3 different solutions, and we'll brainstorm on it. And see, in that way, everybody's always bringing the upline positive so that they want to work with them. And when they have problems, they've thought through solutions. I want to train people to become creative problem solvers. But in doing that, I'm going to counsel them every week. And a new person needs to be counseled every single week. As you grow in the business, you need to get with that upline and go over your action plan, where you're working in your organization, review your possibility list, your top 10 list, your goal statement, and your organizational chart to see where the action is, where can you cross-pollinate, where can you work together. And it works wonders. And for a new group, I look at every single person in that group as I'm doing the trial run and working from A to B to C as being personally sponsored. And I counsel them all. because they may end up being personally sponsored. Because you see, that individual that you're working through or brought in is brand new, and you don't know what's going to affect them. And if they disappear, okay, or get mentally constipated or give up, the people that they led you to quite often will say, oh, that JR doesn't care about me. I know Don, and, you know, if he ain't going to do it, I'm not going to. But if I have a relationship with them and I'm guiding them and counseling them and have connected with them, showing them how to achieve their dream, and they know that I really care, they stay with me. So how vitally important is this in developing the right attitude and knowledge? It's critical. It's huge. Well, the second thing is the monthly seminar. Everybody has to pre-purchase tickets and sell tickets. You see, you can't sell a ticket that you don't have, and you either have a ticket or you don't. And if you don't have a ticket, what is it? You might not come to work. You see, the reality of the business is actually the monthly seminars. And there's at least one monthly seminar that everybody should be going to per month. They don't have to be going to numerous seminars, but at least one per month. There's either a local or a district or a regional or a convention or a leadership school. And one day per month, if you can't commit one day per month to be in a motivating environment where you're getting training and knowledge, where you're with other successful people, with your downline, where you can accomplish a whole month's work in one day, you don't belong in the business. You don't deserve a 2 to 3 year plan. What do you think this is, a free lunch? I mean, my goodness, you don't have to punch a clock. You're not coming into an office or a store. Where is the reality of the business? It's the people. It's the meeting. So that's critically important. If someone doesn't have their ticket, in my mind, they're not in. Why? They might not show up. They might not come. You see, it just doesn't make any sense. How can a pro athlete be a pro athlete if he's not going to show up for the game? Oh, I get worked up about this. But that's because it's so critically important. So when I'm working with somebody new, the first thing I want them to do, more than get a kit, more than anything else, is to purchase a ticket, because I want their belief. I want their confidence. I want them to have the fundamental knowledge that when we start, things go right. You know, I can think back to when I first started in this business. I had gotten picked up hitchhiking with a bunch of friends out of college from Kennedy Airport. We had run out of money, and somebody picked us up hitchhiking. We started complaining, and one thing led to another, and they booked a meeting with me and my friends. And, geez, I saw it, and I wanted to learn more, and he sold me a ticket. One thing he did was he sold me a ticket. Well, you know, a couple weeks later, all my friends were kind of raining on my parade, and they all went off to chase the girls down the beach. But I had this ticket that I had bought burning a hole in my pocket. So I drove to LaGuardia Airport, a Holiday Inn, and attended a seminar, and I saw the light. Now, those guys have never enjoyed the success that I've enjoyed. And I often wonder, what would have happened if that guy didn't sell me that ticket? And I often wonder how many times there's a vice president out there or a director that would have been great if they had gotten the right information and exposed the right people. But because someone showed them the plan and didn't get them exposed to the right thinking and the right people and establish the credibility necessary to bring them to believe, it never happened, you see. And, you know, then I remember I wanted to see the chief honcho because I was going to do this with a passion. And I had to jump through all types of hoops to finally somebody would give me an appointment with the great leader, the great mentor that I wanted to hook up with. Because I figured if I could get with this guy, he would show me a shortcut to success. Or at least he would empower me by working with someone who was already very, very successful. Finally, an appointment was made. But I had to hold a meeting and then drive to their place after the meeting. So it was at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning when I got there. And I drove through these big gates and finally past the fountains and all these motorhomes and cars. And I got to sit down with him. The first thing he asked me was, what is your goal, JR? And I told him, well, I'm going to break 3 of these directs off. He says, my goodness, that's going to take at least 300 people. How's a young guy like you going to do that in 90 days? Why don't you just say you're going to hit 4,500? Oh, no, I'm going to break 3 of these directs off. I'm going to set records. Look at my schedule book. He said, listen, that's a big commitment. I don't want you to set a goal that you can't reach. You won't make the commitment to reach, because you can reach any goal, because then you won't be able to face yourself and you won't be able to face me. And you won't stay in the business, and I don't want to see that happen to you. I want you to be here for the long haul. Oh, no, I'm going to do it. I said, well, how are you going to convince 300 people? Because that's what it takes to hit this level. I said, no, I'm going to do it. Look at my schedule book. I'll do whatever. He says, well, you're going to have to get them to the seminars, because you're not going to get them to believe, and you're not going to train them. And that's going to require you having tickets. Well, I'll do that. I'll get the tickets. He said, look, why don't you don't need to impress me. Why don't you just say you're going to hit 1,500? I said, no, I'm going to do it. He said, well, then you're going to need to get the people and you're going to need to get the tickets. Don't set a goal that you're not willing to make the commitment to reach. So I said, I'll do it. I didn't realize that the tickets cost $5 or $10 a piece. I can't remember exactly what it was back then. And he counted out the tickets, and then he told me to write a check. Well, I didn't have that much money in my checking account. I sweated through two pairs of underwear on the way home. But I remember on the way home, 7 o'clock in the morning, I stopped at the first guy's house that I'd ever sponsored, Joe. I knocked on the door, and he came to the door. I said, man, I've just been to the chief honcho's house. Man, I'm tearing it up. I'm breaking three of these directs off. He says, well, you ain't passing me by. I'm going direct, too. That's your goal? Yeah, how are you going to do that without 100 people? It takes at least 100 people. Oh, I'm going to get them. You're not passing me by. I said, well, hey, Joe, how are you going to do that without getting them to the seminar? How are you going to convince them? Well, you and I are wet behind the ear. How are you going to train them? How are you going to get them to believe? Well, I'll get them to the seminar. Look at my schedule book. It's filled up. Come on, Joe, just say you're going to hit 4,500. I don't want you to set a goal that you can't reach and you won't make the commitment to reach, because I want you to be here for the long haul and you won't be able to face me or yourself and you'll be gone. Oh, no, you're not going to do this without me. I'm going to do it. And I said, oh, come on, Joe. You don't need to impress me. You don't need to do this for me. Just say you're going to hit 1,500. That's realistic. You're going to, no, I'm going to do it. Well, how are you going to do it without at least 100 people at the seminar? Well, I'll get them there. How are you going to get them there without a ticket? Well, I'll get them. I said, well, I'll get the tickets. I said, well, I just happen to have them. And I counted out 100 tickets. And boy, I got 100 tickets sold. I only need to move 100 more. And I went on to my next person and moved 50. And my next person and moved 50 more. You know, at that seminar, 3 weeks later, we had 200 people. And I hit some records. And even though we were wet behind the ears and didn't even know what we were doing, because we instilled the proper discipline. And we're in a business of keeping people in the business until they see the light. And the people, our people saw the light and got started right and got the right attitude and knowledge. We duplicated correctly. We were so naive, we just did it right, because we got exposed to the right thinking and the right training right from the beginning. And it was an incredible experience for me. And from then on, I realized that we really build from event to event. And we're in a business of keeping people in the business until they see the light. Now, right away, somebody's negative thinking brings up a response. Well, 200 and you bought 300 tickets, what happened? You get stuck with 100? Oh, come on. What about the 200 people that did show up and what resulted from that? And if I didn't have the tickets to sell, I would never have gotten them there. So you see, I'm not going to work with someone that doesn't purchase a ticket, because I'm setting in motion something that will carry in motion resulting in failure. I want a little insurance policy that they're going to be successful. Okay, what about the next thing? Second looks. You want to be at 2 second looks per month and attend to and bring, not invite, bring, spelled B-R-I-N-G, bring two people to the second look. Don't invite two people to the second look, because 100% of the people we bring show up. And more times than not, when you invite someone, they remember just before the meeting, they can't envision how to get there. And when they picture the meeting, they picture a room full of stuffed shirts. They're trying to huckster them into something. That's what most people visualize apprehensively. They're not against seeing it. They're just a little apprehensive. And then they got to eat and shower. And they just end up making an excuse. But when they remember an hour before about that thing you invited them to, and they realize that you're going to stop by their house, boy, they're in the shower and they're getting ready. And when you knock on the door, there they are. Even if they forgot, you can say, hey, come on, man, let's go. And it's just that simple. Of course, sometimes someone says, well, I want to drive myself. You want to drive? Great. I'll come over to your house and you can bring me. But why do we have to be at the second looks? This is how you get the belief. This is how you learn the program. This is how you learn to show the program. And at the same time, we're using the second looks to create credibility with the people we've showed the plan to, or that have been at our little house meetings or our kickoffs. And that's why it's called a second look. It's not a first look. It's a second look. We want everybody out showing the plan, going to the people. And there's no use to have second looks if we're not having first looks, if we're not doing one-on-ones, two-on-ones, kitchen table presentations, little house meetings. And if everybody's out there doing that, we don't have to convince people. Not everybody can show the plan as well as a person at the second look or the grade up line. But if they can just get through it, and even if they confuse the person, they got to bring them to their leader, and they got to bring them to the second look where they really begin to understand it. And no one understands the plan the first time. They got to see it at least three times. And this creates an opportunity, once you've got someone to first base, to bring them to the second look, where you learn the plan, they get exposed to credible, successful people, they see a full product display, and they get excited about the business. And everybody's learning at the same time, and it's creating perfect duplication where the plan and the understanding of the plan is duplicated as near perfectly as it can be by a group of leaders who are already successful and have credibility. The next item on our checklist is to associate with positive, successful people. Ask yourself, who am I around and what do they have me becoming? And we all know this is true with teenagers. The peers that they hang with quite often mold who they become or what they do or the trouble that they get in. I love something that Frank Kiefer said one time on the Utopia seminar. It's so erudite. It's so true. He said, you know, there's never been a person that has made it in this business that wasn't hanging around successful people. There's never been a person in this business that's become successful that wasn't hanging around other successful people, other successful, positive people. And by the same token, there's never been someone who failed or quit that wasn't hanging around negative people. How true it is. And if you think about it, this isn't just true in our profession, in our business. It's true in every field of endeavor, in every profession. Successful doctors hang out with successful doctors. Successful lawyers hang out with successful lawyers. Successful athletes associate with successful athletes. Successful musicians associate with successful musicians. Why? Because it's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. And they feed each other's confidence and creativity. And it's a common admiration society. So, it's extremely important that we associate with positive people. You see, we need a life in this business, and this business really becomes a life. So we need a social aspect of it. We need friends. We need people that think alike, that are positive, that are forward-looking. We need a little mastermind group, which creates a greater mind and makes each one of us more creative, more confident, and more directed in where we're going. We gain confidence by being with other people who believe in the same things. So when I see someone that's hanging around, especially a new person, with gossipers or somebody that's mentally constipated, I make sure that I go over to them because I have a responsibility as a sponsor to make sure that they're being exposed to the right people, that they have friends in the business and they have that comradeship which is necessary to have a life here, and that they're involved in the association with the right type of thinking. So I'll take them to lunch with somebody or have coffee after the meeting with some people that are positive, that are growing, that are at about their level or above, so that they start to develop friends and peers that they can associate with, because that positive association is critical to the process of success. So you see, again, we can measure it. That's either happening or isn't. You either have a mastermind group, you either have a group of people that you associate with that are positive and forward-looking, or you don't. And the same thing with your downline. And if we don't have that, we want to adjust. Remember, measure, monitor, adjust, and control. Well, the next thing, of course, is getting people to the seminars. You know, think about this. When you first start in the business, or somebody first starts in the business, how do they get the know-how? How do they get their questions answered? Especially if everybody in the business is not successful and experienced, how do they answer them? Well, we have a process for doing that. It's done through the seminars. It's a system, you see. And you see, as people get into the business and move from being brand new to having their first meeting and their second meeting, and they start to grow, they learn how to build the business, how to manage the business, then later how to teach others the business by going to the seminar. And it truly is a process. And we all become coaches. Even when we're at the meetings, at the seminars, and somebody else is the speaker, we're all coaching our own downlines, our own people, as they learn the business. And it's a group effort. Everybody has a role. And in my estimation, it's an insurance policy when I bring a new person on that I'm not wasting my time, because we're going to build the proper foundation. They're going to get the proper attitude and knowledge. So when do we sell a ticket? And first of all, let's realize one thing that's absolutely for sure and cannot be debated. If you don't have a ticket, you can't sell it. So when should we sell tickets if it's that important to get people committed to going to the seminars? Well, I believe at the end of the opportunity meeting, when someone's seen the plan, or the end of a second look, is the best time to sell a ticket, because they're at the height of their interest and they have more questions than they'll ever have. but they're at the height of their interest and curiosity. Now, from that point on, they begin forgetting. And they're going to run into some people, probably like Aunt Tilly, that rain on their parade a little bit or make some snide comment. And when it comes to day of the seminar, sometimes they're a little queasy. Sometimes there's something else to do, and it's easy not to show up. But if they have that ticket burning a hole in their pocket, the probability is much greater that they're going to show up. And we are in the business of keeping people in the business until they see the light. And you can accomplish a whole month's work, even a whole 2 months or 3 months' work by getting them to that seminar, because it's going to do more to empower them, to get them to believe, to get them to committed than anything else you could possibly do. So you see, that's how important it is. So at the end of every seminar then, I get everybody to buy tickets for the next seminar. And I ask, how many people got a lot out of this today? And they all raise their hand. How many of you are really in, or absolutely in this, that are committed, and you're going to be here next month, and you're going to grow? And the whole mess of them raise their hand. I said, well, then you have to buy your ticket and your significant other's or your spouse's or partner's ticket today. So you're committed to come to the next meeting. And if you have that, when you're doing meetings or at ABC pattern, you'll have two tickets to sell to a new couple, and then you can replace yours. But don't tell me that you're in this and not committed to the next meeting. And there's only one thing that measures that proves that, and that is that you walk away today with your ticket. Now, how many people are going to go executive coordinator that really believe? And a whole mess raise their hand. Boy, they're fired up. And I said, great. Well, how are you going to get to the executive coordinator without bringing at least 5 new people in your organization this month and getting some new people started? And how are you going to get them started right without selling them a ticket? So if you're really going to go executive coordinator, you don't need to tell me. Demonstrate your belief by your actions, by your commitment. You need to leave with 5 tickets. And if you don't have 5 tickets, well, don't tell me that you're going executive coordinator. You don't need to do that. The 5 tickets tell me that. You say, so then I tell everybody that has their ticket, you can go out the left door, the right door over here. We have a table with 8 people with tickets, so you can get through quickly. You go through that door and get your tickets. And I stand by the door where they say they already have their tickets, and I ask to see them. You say, you really do that? I really do, because it's that important. And I have to care about those people enough to make sure that the right thing happens, or they could end up being like one of my friends when I first started in this business that never got going, never experienced the light that I've experienced because they weren't exposed to the right thinking in the beginning. That's how important it is. And you see, if you understand this, then we really build from event to event. We build from event to event and pin level to pin level. And as we go to event, we get everybody committed to go to the next event by buying their ticket. And then at the opportunity meetings, the one-on-ones, the two-on-ones, the house meetings, the kickoffs, and the second looks, we're selling tickets to everybody that's new. And then they go to the next event. And we work to grow to a new level with more people and hit new goals and be recognized by the next event. But regardless, I'm going to get all my stable people and all my go-now people to the next event. The stable people, I don't have to do a lot of meetings for and work real hard with, but I get to see them all and see if they brought any new people. And we get to recharge everybody's battery. Let's face it, when you're out there working the business, or even if you're not working the business, your battery gets run down. You handle a lot of negative. You give a lot, and it drains your battery. Now, you don't want to have a dead battery because your Market America vehicle, your business won't start. We need to recharge those batteries, or we need to get new batteries, and that's done for everybody by getting to the event. So if I have a methodology, a system where everybody has their ticket and is selling tickets, I can accomplish a whole month's work in one single day by seeing everybody, recharging everybody's battery, and being able to develop the right attitude and knowledge and duplicate the right thinking throughout my organization. And ultimately, we are in a business of keeping people in the business until they see the light, and they have to hear something 7 times, 7 different ways from 7 different people before they really get it. And that's what the seminars do month after month after month after month. They get exposed to more and more successful people, and that helps form their thinking. Remember, we become what we think about, and we program our minds. So, you see, the unfranchised way is very, very important. It's a part-time business where we're partnering with the company and the NMTSS and our upline and downline, where we have training, and it all results in duplication. But the reason you can do it part-time and build it to full-time or a full-time income is because of the unfranchised way and the NMTSS and the meeting system and building event to event. The system does this. The system allows you to start out part-time, and by partnering, training, which creates duplication through the NMTSS and the certified training program in the ABC pattern with your upline line of sponsorship, or when you become the upline, your team, as you develop it downline, working the ABC pattern, this system of using the NMTSS, the certified training program, and the line of sponsorship working together as a team as they work from house A to B to C, and the use of tapes and tools, which is altogether what we call the unfranchised way. The unfranchised system allows you to start out part-time, and by partnering and training, we create duplication, which leads to a full-time income. It's incredible. So while we're on this topic, let's talk a little bit about this powerful system called the NMTSS, the National Meeting Training Seminar System. Now, the purpose of this is to build your business and to duplicate perfectly all across the country, regardless of what group someone is or what geographical area they come from. There's a support system which standardizes everything and duplicates as near perfect as you can. But it's all done so that we can build our organization through the MPCP and earn bigger and bigger checks. It's about earning from building the business and duplicating in your organization the basic five so that you have more people selling more product, and as a result, you're making more money. The money is in the plan, not in the meetings. Don't get confused. When a person starts to think in terms of doing meetings and not because they want to make the money off the meeting, they got it all backwards. They got the cart before the horse. So the NMTSS supports building your organization and business so you can earn bigger commission checks. And it allows you to build all over the country. If you leave your hometown, it doesn't fall apart because there's a meeting system and a training system and a support system in place to keep that group going. And if you're able to start groups at a distance, because you don't have to be there all the time. And say you can get them started and go back once a month or every 2 weeks. And in between, there's a system to keep them going. Once they get to a certain point, you don't have to be there every month, because there's a support system there that they can duplicate through and plug into to build their organization. So it leverages duplication, and it allows you to be able to accomplish many more times what you otherwise would have been able to accomplish yourself. And it creates a situation where everything isn't dependent on you. So if you get sick or have to leave town for a while or have to slow down, everything doesn't fall apart that month. And the speakers get paid so that we have a constant supply of the very best minds and most successful people who are more than willing to go help you build your group and other organizations build their groups. This way you get the very best people being willing to come in and train everybody else's group. Now, if they had to do that for gratis, it's going to wear on them pretty quickly, and it's going to get old pretty quickly. So the money is on the speaking end, but we want it there because they're taking time away from their business. It's not in holding meetings. The money in holding meetings is in your organization growing so that you have a successful organization. And you see, otherwise, as you built your business, if it wasn't a self-funding, self-liquidating, economically driven system, you would have to hold bigger and bigger meetings for your organization, and you'd have to pay for them. And here your commission checks are growing from $1,500 a month to $3,000 a month, pretty soon to $1,500 a week, or $4,500 a month, pretty soon to $6,000 per month, pretty soon to $7,500. But you're really not making that, because more and more of that money, half your check by the time you get to $10,000, is going back into holding meetings to support your organization. Here, it's all liquidated by everybody carrying their own weight through a standardized system that's run the same way all across the country. And everybody simply has to cover their own ticket, maybe a ticket for a new person or whatever. So it doesn't deplete your commissions, and everyone carries their own weight. And we train to retain. You see, this keeps people in the business. We train to retain until they see the light. They recharge their batteries and new people see the light. And we accomplish a whole month's work in a single day by getting to see our whole group again. And we convince the new people to get started and to get started right. And we get everybody learning number one of the basic five. It's being duplicated. Number one of the basic five is being duplicated with not only all the new people, but our stable people and our go now people. And that's the development of the right attitude and knowledge. And we get to see our entire group, and we get to meet with our emerging leaders. And our emerging leaders are learning to teach by coming to seminar after seminar. The bottom line is we have to work together for everything to come together. And teamwork really is what makes the dream work, and it's what Market America is all about. So it's very important to know when and how to sell tickets. As I said before, at the end of the opportunity meeting is when I sell the ticket. And here's how I do it. Now remember that I said the time that we sell tickets is at the end of an opportunity meeting or second look, and then at the end of each seminar, so that we're building from event to event. And everybody has tickets then to sell at their meetings. And here's what I say and how I teach people to sell tickets so that it becomes very comfortable and very natural with them, and it duplicates, it becomes self-perpetuating. At the end of an opportunity meeting, when I'm talking about that there's really no decision to make and that they just need to try this out and we need to do a trial run or test market to get the answer of whether they're right for the business and whether the business will work for them, or they're the right person for us and whether the business will work for them. Because if the business would work for them and they were making $2,100 a week, they wouldn't have anything to think about. And most people agree with that. So I talk about how we're going to do the trial run. And I explain to them, you know, you chose a 2 to 3 year plan, and we're going to do this trial run, and I have this thing down to science, and I'm going to be working with you. And I'm going to put the effort in and the time in to make it happen. And if you cooperate and you're coachable, within 30 to 90 days, you're going to be in position to make $1,500 to $2,100 per week or per month. And when that happens, I have to turn the business over to you, because that's why you get paid. If you're not going to manage and run the organization, okay, you really can't get paid. But you know, it's really no use going through this whole process of the trial run and doing the meetings if I can't turn it over to you, and if you don't know what to do and have your questions answered, if you can't run the business. So how does that happen? Well, like in anything where you're going to earn six figures, you have to get some professional training. Now, most of the time, that would require quite a bit of money. If you were in insurance, you'd have to go get an insurance license. If you were in real estate, you'd have to go get a real estate license. And if you were going to go into securities, you might have to go through several trainings to get several licenses. Even if you were going to be a TV technician, you'd have to go to tech school and get a certificate. It requires going to classes or schools or going through training, which costs literally thousands of dollars usually. What we do as a group of entrepreneurs is we work as an association, and we all team together to bring in the top minds and the most successful individuals to answer everybody's questions, to teach people how to do the business and how to run the business. And you get to meet other successful unfranchise owners. These seminars are incredible, and they only cost $45 or $25 or $65, depending on the type of event. So, John, if I'm going to do this trial run with you, it doesn't really make any sense if you're not going to come to the seminar. And I know you have a lot of questions. This is how you get them all answered, and this is how you learn to take over and run the business once I get it up and running and working with you through the trial run. And the ticket only costs $45, and that's the one thing that I want you to do. I want you to be there. I promise you won't be disappointed. So you can write me a check for the ticket. Now, if they don't buy the ticket, I then get them again at the second look. And I bring them up to other people who emphasize the importance of the seminars and how great they are. And we talk about the speaker, and we edify the speaker coming in. And by other people endorsing what I'm saying and validating what I'm saying and giving their own testimonials, they almost always end up buying the ticket. So now when I go to do their meeting and they have people there, I give them two tickets to hold. And at the end of the meeting, I go through the same clothes and the same routine, and I turn to their two people and tell them that if we do the trial run, they're going to be successful because we have it down to science, and they're going to end up making $1,500 to $2,100 a week, but we have to turn the organization over to them, and they can't do that without professional training and getting their questions answered so that they know how to run the business. So it really would be an exercise in futility to go through all this if you're not going to come to the seminar. And the next seminar is, you know, such and such date, such and such place. I tell them about the speaker, and John's going here, and hey, he has tickets. The one thing that we need you to do is to buy this ticket. And then I get them to buy the ticket through the person that I'm showing the plan for, and they collect the money, and then they give me the money. But they think they sold the ticket, you see, and they grow into it. And then the next meeting that I hold for their two people at their houses, he comes with me, and I tell him, look, you need to buy 5 tickets. Don't worry if they don't move, I'll move them. But you need these tickets to give to your two people just like I did for you, and they'll pay you at the end of the meeting when I sell the tickets. So they give the 2 tickets to those two people. I do the talking. Those people collect the money, pay it to John, the guy that I brought in, and then he pays me. But then those two people thought that they sold the ticket. Now John thinks he's marketing the tickets. So if you see what happens here, by emulation, by following me and by working with me, they grow into it. There's no fear of selling tickets because they think that they sold them because they handled the transaction. And they hear it over and over again, and they become very comfortable with it and learn how to do it, and they see that it's working. And from that point on, you'll never have a problem selling tickets. So in any area that we're doing meetings, they build in the second looks, and the second looks automatically built into a seminar, and the tickets automatically are going to be sold because of the process that I'm duplicating. It forces people, when they buy a ticket, to focus on it. They don't forget to bring it up and to sell people on it at their meetings or at their second looks. And if someone's going to grow and they're going to get people to the meetings, hey, let's commit to this one thing up front, because it's that important. And it empowers you when you demonstrate your belief with your commitment. And when you demonstrate your belief that you're going to be successful, that you're going to be an executive coordinator, and you actually follow through with actions, your goal, your dream, your success begins to manifest. So it's extremely important. So seeing and believing is what happens at meetings. That's why we have to sell people tickets, and it develops the right attitude and knowledge, which is a foundation to build the business on and to execute the other 4 components of the basic 5. It's the gas that runs the engine that the basic 5 is functioning through. So it's kind of an insurance policy when I'm working with a new person to let me know that I'm not wasting my time with a person running all over town when it isn't going to work. I'm laying the foundation so that it'll work. I'm putting the gas in the vehicle so that it can get where it has to go. In essence, I then let the seminars do the work for me. You should let the seminars do your work for you. You have all these other successful people that do the convincing and the training for you, producing the credibility that's necessary for that person to get committed and to believe and to be excited through other people. Even at my level, I walk into the living room, people look at me with that squirrely look just like they look at you. I can't drive my cars and my house in it and show them all, you know, my company and everything. I'm just another guy just like you. I use the meetings in order to convince people. And I know that people like the Webbers and the Bowlings and the Doyles and the Gender, I mean, they all do this. They use the meeting to convince the people. We work smarter rather than harder. You see, this is working smarter rather than harder. And it truly is your shortcut to success. Everybody's always looking for a shortcut. And if there was ever a shortcut, it's using the meetings to convince people and to get them to a point where they see the light, where they believe, where they have the knowledge and the confidence to go out and do this and work the business to become successful. So they get to the point where they're going to do it with you or without you because they see the light and it becomes their business. You see how important that is? So as a result, you're a hopeless success. You can't help but succeed. So the smart people do whatever it takes to persuade and commit somebody to get to that meeting. And it really is working smarter rather than harder. And it really is a shortcut to success because by getting 2 to 4 people in each one of your legs of the meetings or the convention or the leadership school, you now have a leg that's going to be successful regardless of you, regardless of what you do. And if a new person has a ticket in his hand, burning a hole in his pocket, he or she will come. And remember, free has no value. Okay, free has no value. That's why they have to pay for the ticket. So what happens a week later or on Saturday after you had the meeting if they don't have a ticket? Well, they're off to the ball game or they're watching TV or they get sidetracked. And you may just have lost $109,000 because of that. So you can't sell a ticket that you don't have. That's the axiom. That's the rule. So you need to have tickets at all of your second looks and all of your one-on-ones and your opportunity meetings. It's a vitally important mechanism to developing the right attitude and knowledge. So you either have the ticket or you don't. Remember, the difference between success and failure is so simple. The individual who succeeds simply did what the individual who failed didn't do. So the NMTSS is totally standardized and systemized, and there's one event per month to promote in each area that you're building in. And we have standardized ticket prices. Locals are no more than $25. Districts, which are never in the same month as a local, are no more than $40. And regional conventions are no more than $65. So 1 month, they're going to a local and getting their people to go to the local. The next month, they may be going to a regional, which is a little further away, but people have been exposed to this, and now they want more. And the next month, it may go back to a local. And then the next month, there may be a district. And then the next month, there may be a convention. But there's one event per month to promote. And it goes from big event back to smaller event. You know, a more regionalized or a greater geographical area event to a more localized event. And we have standardized prices. And please, don't fall into the trap of trying to make money off of meetings and training and seminar. You're paid through the marketing plan for training your group. And NMTSS system liquidates the cost of meetings. Everybody carries their own weight, and it provides speakers that get paid well and want to do a good job, so we have the best speakers. But don't ticket people to death with all types of sundry different trainings. Don't drain them to the point where they're not going to be successful or they start to get a bad taste in their mouth. Don't charge for corings or in-house trainings. See, you should be holding corings. You should be doing how to show the plan workshops or prospecting workshops or basic five meetings or new distributor trainings in your own home with your group as it grows. But you don't need to charge for those things. Then you sell the tickets to the big public meetings. So you see, as we develop the right attitude and knowledge, it's much less likely that people will get stuck on the dot. Because when people get stuck on the dot, it prevents success. When they get detail-itis, and they start concentrating on some detail, something negative that happened, or some doubt, they blow it out of proportion. Now, have you heard my story of don't get stuck on the dot? This is a beautiful little demonstration that you can do with someone across a kitchen table, or you can do it in front of a room on a marker board. You simply put a little dot, draw it in the middle of a big sheet of paper on a marker board, and you ask someone, what do you see there? Well, the common response is, I see a dot. But it demonstrates something about human nature. And I said, this is the way human nature works. Notice that I have this whole board or this whole blank piece of paper. And I draw a little mark, a little dot in the middle, and that's all anyone sees. And they concentrate on it. They don't see all the space outside the dot. And I write up there where I could write any dream that you have, an organization of 5,000 people, an income of $2,100 a week, the house you want, the education you want your kids to get, the freedom that you want, the 2 to 3 year plan becoming a reality for you, or overcoming any situation or problem that you might have. I could put anything else out there. But you know, when we focus on that dot and we get closer and closer to it and look at it closer and closer and become totally stuck on it, and I show them as I put my nose on the dot, that's all that I can see as I get closer and closer to it, it becomes the whole picture. The dot becomes a big black dot, and that's all I see because I magnify it, and I can't see the rest of the picture. I can't see the possibilities. I can't see the solutions. I can't see the dreams, and it's the power of negative. Let's face it, folks. Stuff happens. You know the bumper sticker, but stuff happens. And life isn't necessarily fair. Has life really been that fair to any of us? Has it been fair to you? You see, stuff does happen, but we don't get stuck on the dot. Life isn't a bowl full of cherries. We have to eat the cherries, and they have pits in them. It's a bowl full of pits. We have to learn how to spit out the pits, and then you get cherry trees. You have to learn in life to separate the fish from the bones. Don't get so hung up on something that you can't change anyway. Learn by it. Put it behind you. Protect yourself from it happening again. But you see, everything that we've been talking about up to now helps someone prevent themselves from getting stuck on the dot because they develop the right attitude, a winning attitude, and the necessary knowledge. The reverse of this, the opposite of this, is somebody that becomes enamored by every little thing that goes wrong, every doubt, every problem, every mishap, and they get stuck on it. And that's why so many people never become successful. I believe that we have a responsibility to get people to rise above that and learn how not to get stuck on the dot. And another thing that you need to learn in this business is to choose your battles carefully. I've certainly learned it over the last 8 years running this company. You know, we can get so concerned about everything that goes wrong, every time that we get shortchanged, every time somebody does something manipulative, that all we're doing is fighting. And you really do have to choose your battles carefully. And remember, if you have problems, I mean, who doesn't have problems? My old saying is, hey, you don't tell me about yours, I won't tell you about mine. And I guarantee you don't want to hear about mine. You know, when my phone rings, I guarantee you it's nothing positive. It's usually something that's problematic. But we learn how to deal with them and separate the fish from the bones. But if you have problems, what good does it do to focus on those problems, to get stuck on that dot? Is it going to change them? Well, let me ask you this. If you had $9,000 to $27,000 per month coming in from building 1 to 3 business development centers or income centers or unfranchises, would it help you manage those problems a little better? Would those problems seem a little less? So why get stuck on the problems? Why concentrate on the problems? Concentrate on the $27,000 a month or the $9,000 a month on building your business and making it happen. You see, we have to focus on the possibilities and the big picture. We can't get stuck on the dot. Life goes on, doesn't it? And it's all about attitude and belief. You become successful because you believe you will be successful. You act successfully and you will be successful. All you have to do is do what a director does all the time. Act like a director all the time. Talk like a director all the time. Think like a director all the time, right now, and you become a director. But you see, you didn't really become a director the day you got that pen and got that check. You became a director the day you started acting, thinking, and talking like a director. And belief gives you the motivation to succeed. See, the remaining 4 of the basic 5 won't even work if you don't get number 1 right. And that's why this one is the most important and we spend the most time on it. It's the foundation for the rest of the structure. How do you alter your belief systems from a negative system to a positive belief system? How do we get off of the dot? A big part of it is visualizing. Visualizing ourselves as being successful. Visualizing ourselves having a successful unfranchise. Now, I believe that everyone should be a director. I can't understand why every single person doesn't become a director. I just can't comprehend it, because here people profess their whole life that this is what they want, that this is the freedom that they want. And in the past, they've had all types of impediments and obstacles preventing them from achieving the lifestyle and the financial independence and the freedom that they deserve and profess that they want their whole life. And it only takes developing 3 unfranchises, okay, which is developing 4 legs. But you see, if you see yourself as a director all the time and act like a director all the time and do all the things that a director would do all the time, you're going to become one. And it only takes 4 legs. So you should be able to believe that. And when I look what people have to develop in other businesses or other companies, it's incredible. It takes so much less. People do many, many times what you have to do here to earn just a fraction of the money. It's absolutely incredible. I find it funny how people will rationalize rather than visualize. Instead of believing it and seeing it, they make excuses. You see, you can make an excuse not to do anything, but can you find a reason to do it? It's a choice between excuses or finding reasons, or turning excuses into reasons. Isn't it incredible how people will make excuses about not building the business and doing the 2 to 3 year plan, but they'll work their job. Oh, they'll do their job all day long, put up with all types of abuse, fight the rush hour traffic, not get credit for things they should, be blamed for things, and they just love their job. And sometimes they profess that they hate it, but they keep doing it 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week for 45 years of their life. They build a rut to the point where all they got to do is fill in the dirt on top of them, and they'd be buried. But you know what? If you worked 1/4 as much as you are now at your job, you would get fired. Think about that. If you worked 1/4 as hard as you do right now at your job, you would get fired. But if you would work 1/4 as hard as you do at your job in Market America, you would be incredibly successful. And you would be making huge money, at least $2,100 a week, and you wouldn't need that job. Now, isn't that incredible how we have our priorities mixed up? So color your mind with success. Think like, I am successful. I am a successful recruiting machine. Nothing's going to get in my way. I breathe, sleep, think success. I am successful. You see, because it really is a state of mind. You can change your life by changing your perception of yourself. Believe you can do it, and you'll have the power, the passion, and the purpose of doing it. You know, Princeton University and their Psychokinesis Center did a lengthy scientific study on the brain, and they determined that it took 1/1,000,000th of a volt for a person to change their mind or to change what they think or to change a belief. 1/1,000,000th of a volt snaps across someone's cerebral cortex, and they begin to see things a different way. They begin to visualize. They begin to believe. 1/1,000,000th of a volt went across Elizabeth Weber's mind, her cerebral cortex, 8 years ago. And here's a gal that was nothing more than a secretary or administrative assistant working in an office and a roofer. They're now making millions. What makes them any different than you? That 1/1,000,000th of a volt went off. And it was then the development of the right attitude and knowledge that built the foundation that allowed them to build such a successful business. And there's hundreds of others like them, thousands that are on their way. So it can happen to you too. See, don't just let the wind blow. Set your sail. Have a vision. If you change, everything will change. But you see, if you keep thinking the same way as you're thinking now, you're going to get the same result. If you don't change the things that you're doing now, nothing will change. So we have to begin by changing our thinking, by developing the right attitude and the necessary knowledge to have the confidence to build this. And if you keep doing the same thing, one thing's for certain, you'll keep getting the same result. And of course, if we don't change our thinking, you'll remain exactly where you are in life. The positive and enthusiastic way you view this business will determine how successfully you and the people you associate with in this business perform. They reflect your attitude. It's contagious. So, where are you in life? What are you going to do about it? What's your outlook? You see, everybody has an outlook on life, and it's affected by our attitude and our knowledge. Is life an exciting adventure? Do you live in anticipation for the next day and the next week and the next month as you build your business and become free? Or is it full of apprehension because of your job and life closing in on you and the shackles of that 45-year plan and all the economic burdens that you have? Can you control your destiny? Or are you living in apprehension? Would you prefer to live with anticipation and excitement? That's what this business can bring to you, and it's a matter of developing that state of mind. So get excited about your future. See, you are in the right place at the right time. There's never been a company that's stronger, that has a more innovative marketing plan, that's going places, and it's still the best-kept secret in the country. And see, timing is everything, and the time is now. You know the old story. Yesterday is but a memory. Tomorrow is a mystery. And today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. And it's the only time that you can do anything with. What are you doing with the gift? You see, timing couldn't be better for you to make your move. If not now, when? If not you, who? Everyone wants to associate with a winner, so why not become one? Dedicate yourself to rising to the top. When you let the people around you know that you want it, that you're going to make it happen, you believe you can get it, and you're dedicated to doing it, whatever it takes you're going to do, they'll buy into your vision. They want to be around somebody that's going somewhere. And if Market America can give you anything you want in life, what are you willing to give your Market America business? You know, people ask me, what does it take? My answer is simple. It takes whatever it takes. What does it matter? Because if I can get anything I want in life, what does it matter what it takes? And if I can live the rest of my life in freedom. But it does take more than just an attitude. We got to be more than just positive thinkers. Yes, we need a winning attitude. Yes, we need a positive attitude. But I don't want to be like the guy at the Amway convention that went to a big meeting and got all excited, all hyped up. So I got so excited that he ran out the door across the street to go sponsor somebody, and a Mack truck was barreling down and it clipped him. And he went flying through the air 100 yards and he was bleeding to death. And his friend came over and said, John, are you all right? And he jumped up and he says, I feel great. Well, he doesn't feel great. That's ridiculous. He's an idiot. And the reason that guy went over there was the only guy he had sponsored. But hey, what's the point? The point is, we want to have a realistic attitude. We don't want to be all hyped up. We want to have a positive, realistic, winning attitude. And to really have that, it takes some essential knowledge. You see, attitude and knowledge have to be married in order for either one to work. So there's some things that you must know, and you need to know where and how to learn it. Developing attitude requires knowledge in order to have confidence, and it produces confidence. And let's face it, if you're confident in doing the basic five and you know you can do it, you will be doing it. And if you are doing it, you'll be successful. So what must you know, and what must your people know, and how do you learn it? How do you teach it? How do you duplicate it? And how do you get them to know it? Isn't that critically important to know? Well, for me, it all starts when we start someone out, even before they get their kit, with the Getting Started Guide and Action Plan. And you should have these on hand. Now, this is another thing. You either have them or you don't have them. It's code 391. They're $5 for 10 of them. And that'll get the people that you're working with, including yourself, on the right track. It provides a track to run on. It's like a recipe book. You may not know how to cook, but if you follow the recipe exactly, you're going to get approximately the same result that somebody else would that can cook. It's like a roadmap. How are you going to get from one city or location to another city or location in another state if you've never been there before? Now, you've never been successful before. If you've never reached the goals that you have set for yourself before, how are you going to get there without a roadmap? And you see, for this vehicle, this is your owner's manual. This is the instruction book. This is the roadmap that'll get you where you got to go. All you have to do is follow it. And if you do one chapter or section per week, not only you, but you do this with your people, you're going to be automatically making sure that everything that has to be done and learned is happening so that someone develops the right knowledge. So this is the first source. Then we go through a sign up and follow up and answer questions, and we start duplicating the right attitude and knowledge by using that action plan. One section every week with everybody that we work with, we go over it at the end of each meeting. And then we go to the next week when we have another meeting, we go to the next section. And that action plan makes sure that certain things happen. It gets them to try the product. It gets them to read the career manual. It requires them in the Getting Started Guide to get on a track to becoming a UFO, because it leads them right into it. Just by following each chapter, checking things off, completing the assignments, and you working with them, they'll be led right in to becoming a UFO. And it involves setting their goals, developing a possibility list. It goes over the answer to what is it, and it makes them fill these things out. It's like an assignment book. It's like a curriculum. It's like a course. And it's a track to run on. It goes over writing their two-minute commercial. It covers the new distributor training and the basic five and makes sure that they commit to booking themselves into one by buying a ticket. It goes over the NMTSS seminar tickets and requires them to buy one. It gets them to commit to going to a second look and bringing people, and it talks about that, and you'll cover it with them. And then it goes into how to set goals and develop a detailed plan or a goal statement. And then it lays out the steps for a trial run and kickoff. So you see, just by methodically going through the Getting Started and Action Plan, it ensures that people are getting started right, that no calamities or mishaps happen in regard to requirements, that all the paperwork's taken care of, that nothing slips through the cracks that could adversely affect their success. Think about this. When you bring somebody into the business, this knowledge is critical. You're like a surgeon, and you're doing an operation that's a $109,000 operation. You don't want to mess it up, so make sure that you follow this. And it covers all the steps procedurally, and it's just like an operation. If we go through the steps procedurally, we get the correct result. We have a successful operation. But you know, that leads you into becoming an unfranchised owner. And being that this is about being an unfranchised owner and the unfranchised system, you must understand the unfranchised system. And the first major goal should be to become a bronze UFO, and then every 3 months, every quarter, hit the next unfranchised level, the silver level in 3 months, and then in 3 months more, at the most 6 months, the gold level. And if you duplicate that in your organization, do you see how automatically everything that needs to be happening to duplicate the basic five is automatically happening, and you become a hopeless success? It will automatically cause you to hit pen levels. Now, understand what the unfranchised systems is all about. It's about systems. And it really came from a man by the name of W. Edward Demings. And he was famous in Japan and in the Eastern Rim for his teachings. He was a scholar and an industrialist. And he taught that systems under which people work account for 95% of all the errors and failure. Therefore, the key to excellence is to perfect the system. He taught the Japanese how to do that after World War II, and they became a manufacturing powerhouse overnight in the electronics industry. And it was all about systems. Now, a few people like Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's and the founder of Holiday Inn, picked up on this, and they began to do it in their own realms, in their own business areas. But when you think about this, it led to franchising. And when you purchase a franchise, really what you're purchasing is a system, a proven business system that's standardized and systemized and uniform, and the system makes it work. You see, if you simply follow the system, you're going to get the same result every time, everywhere. And it's a tried, proven, tested method. So, how does an unfranchise relate to a franchise? It's very important to know this. This is a critical knowledge to develop the confidence that people need to go forward. See, we make a more powerful system than franchising available to more people at the grassroots level by eliminating the prohibitive entry cost. Normally, to buy a franchise, you know, it costs $147,000 to $500,000. Versus $69.95 to $1,000, maybe in startup costs and overhead, with a Market America unfranchise. So think for a moment how franchising really works. The franchisee pays the franchisor, or the franchise company, in excess of $147,000, or $147,000 upward, for the right and privilege to pay the franchisor 5 to 10% of their sales each month. I'll repeat that. The way franchising works is the franchisee, the person buying the franchise, pays the franchisor upward of $147,000 for the right and privilege to pay them 5 to 10% of their sales each month. Now, why would anybody do that? Think about it. Most franchises aren't cutting-edge, revolutionary, breakthrough businesses. They're pretty mundane things like burger stands, chicken shacks, lube shops, mailbox rooms. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure those things out. So why would someone pay the franchisor $147,000 to pay them 5 to 10% of their sales in a royalty each month? Well, the answer is quite simple. Because the probability of individual success goes way up when someone buys a good franchise. Because the franchisor, if they're a good one, is going to provide a proven business plan, ongoing marketing support, training, products and services at the lowest possible prices, and a total turnkey system, a blueprint for success, and they're going to be there to help them make it happen. Now, in Market America, we do exactly the same thing, but we don't charge $147,000 upward to do it. We charge $69.95. And instead of you paying us a royalty, we pay you on your weekly production on the development of the business. Now, that's incredible. So this is really a plan for your financial success with Market America's unfranchised system. And it's a perfected, standardized, and uniform system, just like in franchising, that combines franchising with direct sales to facilitate the duplication of independent business success. Now, like a franchise, we have a proven business plan. There's systemization, standardization, uniformity. So anywhere you go to a meeting, anywhere you look at a tool, anywhere you look at a methodology or system, it's all the same. California or New England or Florida or Canada. There's state-of-the-art management systems. There's merchandising and marketing tools. There's growing visibility, and you're able to own multiple unfranchises or businesses, and there's a required training program to make sure that everything is done correctly. But unlike a franchise, there's no franchise fees. There's no monthly royalties to pay. There's no territorial restrictions. Your territory is really your marketing organization. There's no geographical territories. And you can start part-time rather than having to work 40 to 60 hours a week. You can put in 8 to 12 hours per week to get the business off the ground. And there's minimal startup expense. And there's little or no risk. And you don't have to be tied behind the counter of the store 8 to 14 hours a day. So you can get started and you can begin in an unfranchised program without having a huge investment, without having to leave your job, and without being married to the business and having to work 40 to 60 hours weeks. But as you grow, there are systems and tools and trainings that you'll need. And again, there's no franchise fee. There's no large investment. In fact, a person can start out just by doing a trial run, which enables them to see if the business is going to work for them and allows us to know if they're the right person to work with. And in the process, they end up retailing some products. They get a few people interested through the trial run. And it's working. It's already working. So now, as the business starts to grow and develop, they didn't have to make a huge investment up front, not knowing how successful it's going to be. It's already working. So now, as we start to grow the business, an unfranchised owner or a distributor gets what they need to build the business, to plug into the unfranchised system. And we provide them all the systems, all the tools, all the trainings, just like in a franchise, and the individual plugs into the system, which makes the business grow. Okay? So think about it. As an unfranchised owner, you have the training, the marketing support, the blueprint for success, our 300-page career manual, a proven business plan, the products and services at the lowest possible prices that one would need, including tools, growing visibility, computerized marketing, and merchandising methodologies. Just like McDonald's or Burger King or a lube shop or any other type of franchise has merchandising techniques and strategies that move the product for the franchisee, we do too in our own binomial marketing system, okay? Such as trial size marketing, internet sales, testers, counter displays, video marketing, commercial account programs, circular catalog brochures, OPC3 survey and retail system, party plan systems, custom blend systems to lock in customers. And we utilize one-to-one marketing by capturing data and surveying our preferred customers. We're able to identify products that people want, and then as a product brokerage company, source them out, constantly having a new BV stream from products that we identified and bring directly to preferred customers one-on-one. And they are products not that we tried to convince them that they needed. They were products that they already told us that they wanted. So in the unfranchise system, you pay as you go. You pay after you're earning. It's an overhead versus an investment. You see, when you make an investment in something, a capital investment, you don't get that money back until you sell the business. Well, here, you might have a little bit of overhead, but you don't have to make a huge investment, and that overhead is yielding you a profit. And then we have a positive cash flow as a result. There's no royalties to pay. The company pays you. In fact, in this marketing plan, there's a compounding effect that as you build and plug into the system, your income and your checks begin to grow and compound. But it's all about systemization. We all have one way of doing things. Each organization or each unfranchised owner or each distributor doesn't reinvent the wheel and do it their own way, creating confusion and lack of uniformity. You know, if you own a McDonald's, you can't do it the Burger King way. In fact, you can't buy your own bags. You can't do anything outside the system because there's a reason for everything that they do. And if it wasn't that way, every McDonald's would be different. So what use is there in having a McDonald's franchise system? I hope you understand that. But the concept here with Market America and any franchise is that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. By subordinating some of our personal creativity, and not that we try to stifle creativity, because all the great ideas, all the methods come from successful people in the field or the corporate team working with the advisory council. And they're tried, tested, proven methods that are implemented for everyone. But because we all prescribe to one way of doing things and we have a national system with the NMTSS, with second looks, with meetings, with a certified training program, with tools, you can leverage more growth because it isn't all dependent on you. It was just dependent on you, and you had to do everything, create everything, and support all your groups all over the country and do all the meetings, you would be maxed out very, very quickly. And the business is not totally dependent on just you. Otherwise, you could never stop. Here, if you travel, if you go away on vacation, if you need to take a break, if you need a rest, your business doesn't fall apart because everybody's plugged into the system. And we do have required ways of doing things. Why? Just like in McDonald's, we know that there's a certain way that works. And all the systems and all the things that we do work together synergistically to produce a desired result. So we have required ways of doing things because we know it works. Now, the unfranchised system does have requirements and standards. It is part of the systems. And this is embodied in the policies and procedures, the methods of building. We all basically use the same methodology, same way of recruiting, same way of showing the plan, same way of following up, the ABC pattern, the same retailing methods. It's a system. The marketing plan presentation is standardized. So that whether someone sees a plan in Washington State or Texas or New Jersey, it's the same basic fundamental presentation, eliminating confusion, eliminating the possibility of misrepresentation or false claims. And it makes it easier to learn because everybody's seeing it the same way. And you can be confident when you send somebody to a meeting in another area, the program is being done correctly and you know what they're saying. And the meetings and trainings are standardized. The literature, sales aids, and tools are standardized. The MPCP, Management Performance Compensation Plan, has requirements that everybody has to meet that strengthens the business, strengthens the retail base, and ensures that everybody's carrying their own weight and that there'll be no regulatory problems.
This concludes this portion of the program. To continue, please insert the next CD.